Well, guys, we're going to get started tonight for our last TCI. You made it! So we have to finish with a bang. That's a good bang, Nate. And so we'll be getting started with that in just a moment here. Everybody get their seats. One group is going to have to be combined with another group. I'll tell you that at the end. I don't know who it is. No. Anyway, well, I shouldn't have said that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for what else happened in these last weeks as we've turned our attention to you. We've acknowledged you in all of our ways as we've put our trust in you. Father, we know that our trust challenge hasn't ended or isn't ending tonight. No, we've just begun and we're just finishing this time of intensely focusing on this, but we'll all continue in the things you've begun in us. And Father, we continue to look to you tonight to lead us and to guide us. If there's whatever it is that we need tonight, we ask you that you give it to us. Even if Nate doesn't have it, even if our group leaders don't have it, Father, we know that you live in us and we're trusting in you by your Holy Spirit to give us what we need tonight. Challenge us, speak to us, make your will plain before us in Jesus' name. And Father, we look to you now in these next few minutes and open our hearts on purpose to hear from you. We've come out here on a beautiful Sunday evening and we came for the purpose of hearing from you and sharing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we look to you tonight to end this, Father, we know that you're here to meet us. You're here to speak to us. You're here, Father, with us. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, everybody. So glad you made it. I think we're becoming more and more lenient on our starting time because these Sunday afternoons have been calling for naps, I guess. I just feel impressed as we begin to get a testimony from somebody. I don't know who that person is, but maybe you have something that you could share. What the Trust Challenge has meant to you, what God's done in and through you in the Trust Challenge. And perhaps this is the moment of truth for you to get up here and share what that might be. Who is it? Stephanie, come on. What has the Trust Challenge meant to you and what's God done in you?
It's meant so much to me. A matter of fact, Susan Bates that goes here, she was in a situation where she was in a place that it's group home and it wasn't taking very good care of the people there and different things. And I just began to use some of the principles we used here and told her, you know, we have to just believe and trust that the Lord doesn't want you here. And we began to just pray for a couple months, you know, ever since we started here. And through that also, I had been looking for a job, and I said, Lord, you know, I don't understand. Why can't I get a job? Why can't I find this and that? And then this morning, Eddie was talking about cross-pollination, that we cross-pollinate each other. And it just kind of dawned on me then, as I took my eyes off of what I was doing, because I've been trying to find a job, and I took the time off and spent time with Susan, and she stayed with us for a couple weeks. As I took my time off of myself and helped her, right after that, she found a wonderful place to live where there's water won't get turned off, lights won't get turned off, good food, brand new bed, furniture, and everything. And through that, then the Lord, I enrolled at Virginia College, and God provided all the money for me to go to that course. And so, like I said, it didn't dawn on me kind of till this morning when Eddie was talking about that, and then all the dots just clicked together. And, you know, as I was ministering with her and took my focus off myself, you know, and just kind of put it into somebody else, that the Lord opened the doors that I needed to be open to.
Praise God. That is awesome. God is good. Well, let's look in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We'll start there. We'll look at two passages of Scripture tonight. And God's going to help us. He's going to help us finish strong. Amen. You think, how could he possibly outdo what's been done? And he has a funny way of just kind of transcending, doesn't he? It's got a transcendence. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 2. And Jeremy, I'm reading the message if you want to put it up on the screen. The sacred writings contain preliminary reports by the prophets on God's Son. His descent from David roots him in history. His unique identity as Son of God was shown by the Spirit when Jesus was raised from the dead, setting him apart as the Messiah, our Master. Through him, we received both the generous gift of his life and the urgent task of passing it on to others who receive it by entering into obedient trust in Jesus. You are who you are through this gift and call of Jesus Christ. And I greet you now with all the generosity of God, our Father and our Master Jesus, the Messiah. And this wonderful, we receive the generous gift of God's life and also the urgent task, he says, the responsibility of passing it on to others who receive it by entering into the obedient trust in Jesus. And what I want us to focus on tonight is that what we've received, what God has done in and through us, is not just meant for us. It's not meant to stay here and pull up within ourselves, that it's meant to be a free flow in and through us. And so it's wonderful that God's been moving on our hearts. He's been stirring up within us. But it's even more wonderful that he's done that for a purpose. And it's not just so that you can be blessed and that you can have these warm fuzzies and that we can have, you know, tears of joy and more tears of joy and plenty more tears of joy. Too many tears of joy in my case. Of what God's done, it's so that there's a purpose. There's a purpose for this. And I want to show you a couple places in Scripture that we see this as carried out. We see this as true. That we have, we get life. Yes, we receive life. Yes, we receive freedom. We receive all these things that God has for us. But even more importantly is the responsibility that we have to pass it on. As Peter Parker's uncle once told him, with great power comes great responsibility. Okay. Acts 16. Let's look there for a second. And this just really jumped out to me. I've been reading through the Bible this year. I'm on like day 89 or 90 or something in the Bible plan. And it's been fascinating. Like I'm learning things through the book of Numbers. Crazy. And I realize why they call it Numbers. It's like filled with like it's the accountant's dream. Like Pastor Matt probably loves the book of Numbers because it is all about numbers. I mean, there's numbers upon numbers. It's crazy. But yet in the middle of it, God speaks to me. I don't know what happens. It like looks like the dots on the screen in the Matrix, but I see something. Okay. The numbers flowing through. Acts 16. But as I was reading all that to say, I was reading through Acts as well in my Bible time, and I stumbled across this passage. I believe God led me here. Acts 16, verse 6, and I'm going to read in the New Living. It says, next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Notice that for a second. The Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Kind of odd, isn't it? Like, why would the Holy Spirit prevent them from preaching the word? Why prevent them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time? I don't know. I'm not here to offer you any answers on that, but it's just a question that I had. Okay. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Wait a second. I mean, does it seem to you that they might have had their own agenda? Like Paul and his companion? Does it seem to you that maybe they said, okay, well, this is what I think with my understanding might work well, or this is maybe like the path of least resistance. We're not going to have to go out of our way. I mean, I don't know, like the geography and that geography wasn't my subject in school. But do you think that perhaps they were trying to figure it out on their own? Could be. A lot of hypotheticals tonight. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. Seems like God is interrupting the narrative here. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. And we'll stop there for a second. And I see such a parallel in what we've been experiencing together through the Trust Challenge, in the fact that we kind of made our own plans for where we wanted to go through this thing, and then God showed us a vision. Like, literally, he showed me a vision of what was going to happen one night. And it wasn't as obedient as Paul was here. And I took us halfway and said, wait, we'll go halfway there. But God kind of interrupted our plans and says, wait a second, I've got something better for you. He prevented us from doing our plan through the Holy Spirit and his leading and his guiding. And so many times that can happen in our own lives. That if we think one thing of what we're going to do or what kind of plans we're going to make, but then God shows us a better way, shows us a higher way. And oftentimes he leads us to somewhere for a purpose. And we have to see that in mind. And in this case, Paul has a vision and it's somebody saying, hey, come help. Come to Macedonia. This is where you're needed the most. So let's fast forward a little bit. Jump down to verse 16. And here they are, they've come to Macedonia, all right? One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Like, why would that be a problem? I don't know. It seems like they're announcing their arrival. But this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They're teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Wow. Wait a second. Man from Macedonia, come and help us. And I show up at Macedonia, I'm preaching the gospel, doing the Lord's work, and suddenly I encounter some tribulation. Suddenly I encounter some turmoil. Suddenly I encounter really the work of the enemy that's against me. And Paul and Silas, they're beaten, severely beaten, thrown into the inner prison. Like any one of us, I guarantee you, with lesser resolve, would give up. We'd be at that point where, I can't take it anymore. I don't need to do this. I give in. I'm throwing in the towel. It's over for me. And maybe you feel at that point tonight where you're like, man, life's been kicking my butt lately. I'm not getting what I want. And God's promises aren't really coming true in my life. And maybe you've had the temptation to blame God. God, why are you doing this? God, why are you letting this happen, as the world and religion has taught us? And God, why did you lead me to this place? Is it for a reason? And we tend to put these things off on God. Religion would tell us, put these things off on God. But it's the enemy trying to get you to stop. It's the enemy trying to prevent you from what's on the other side. But Paul and Silas, they didn't give up. They were doing what I think we call around here trust. Like, look at what they did. And you know the story. It's not, unfamiliar to you. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And I don't think this was the type of prayer that we find in the Psalms. Why are you downcast, O my soul? These weren't the types of prayers I think that maybe we would be tempted to pray in this situation. Wasn't a type of prayer. God, this sucks. Get me out of here. They were praying and singing hymns to God. They were rejoicing even in the midst of their situation. They were rejoicing in the midst of their trial, their circumstance that the enemy had brought their way to hinder them. But you know what? I believe they saw the end from the beginning. They saw something greater than what they were currently experiencing. They had experienced the power and presence of God so many times in their ministry, and they knew that God wasn't about to let them fail. He wasn't about to let them fall, let them quit, let them give in, let them throw in the towel. He wanted them to persevere and overcome. And he was going to enable them to do that. And I believe they saw that. I believe that's the type of praise they were giving to God. God, you're going to get us out of this. You're a good God. You've got good in store for us. You didn't cause this. This is the enemy's work. Father, we praise you. And they were giving praise to God. And they weren't doing it silently either, because the other prisoners heard them. It says the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. Okay, so they have this massive breakthrough. God's power shows up on the scene, sets them free. Not just them, but all the prisoners around them. Like there's a collateral freedom taking place here. You've heard of collateral damage, is collateral escapism here. Okay. And they could have, like, easily at that moment said, oh man, this is great. Let's throw a party. Let's celebrate our newfound freedom. Let's celebrate what God has done. Let's have a party and let's throw a feast and it's all about us and let's rejoice in what God's doing in us. And like, did you see what God did? Did you see what God did? And it's all about us and the present company. But there was a purpose in their freedom. There was a purpose in their freedom. There was something for them to do beyond just celebrate. So the jailer, he was sleeping. The earthquake woke him up and he sees the prison doors open and he thinks, man, I'm a dead man anyway. So I might as well end it the samurai way, fall on my sword. So he drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself. We're all here. The jailer called for lights, ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Don't miss the miracle here. I mean, he sees the power of God. He experiences the power of God in this situation. And he comes to Paul and Silas and says, what do I got to do to get what you got? What do I have to do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Scripture would go on to tell us that they took the party to the jailer's house and they prayed with the rest of his family to be saved, and they baptized them right there in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. They're going to the river to get baptized because he couldn't wait. Because that was the power of God in manifestation. And what I want you to see tonight is that you haven't been set free just for you to be free. You have been set free to trust forward. To trust forward. To pay it forward. To invite others in. To set others free. You know, we like to say, psychology would like to say, that hurt people. You've heard the phrase before? Like somebody who's been wronged or somebody who's had something terrible happen to them in their childhood, well, they're likely to do that to somebody else. That's what psychology would have us believe. That hurt people hurt people. Right? And there's like, they can't help it. It's part of, you know, they're lashing out or whatever. But I believe the reverse of that is true. That free people. Did you hear me tonight? Free people, free people. And this is what the task that we've been given, the responsibility that we've been given, the privilege, I dare say, that we've been given, that it's not just about us. And how can we invite others into this journey? How can we celebrate our victories, what God's done with us, providing resources, providing a better way of life? How can we celebrate that and invite others into the party and set others free? Because guess what? There are people around us, like the jailer, ready to off themselves. Like they're already spiritually dead, but they're ready to take their own lives because of how bad it's gotten. They look around and they see, well, I'm a dead man anyway. So what does it matter? And that's when we show up on the scene and we say, wait. I'm here. We're here. We're here for you. And then we give them the word of God. And we tell them our story and invite them along with our journey and say, this is how I've learned to trust God. This is what God's done in me in just the past 2 months. And I believe that even as a result of going through this together, that God's taught us some things, God's shown us some things, He's revealed some things to us about ourselves and our destiny and our purpose, and He's got a plan for that. I mean, we've had wonderful times of praise and worship and singing hymns to God, and we've celebrated breakthroughs and victories in people's lives, but on the other side, there's a purpose. On the other side, there's an opportunity to free others. Because free people, free people. And we can do it. And He's given us the power to do so. He's given us the wisdom to do so. And He's given us His love to flow through us, enabling us to love others with the love of God. Because we're not doing it in and of our own strength or ability. We found that we fail every time we try to do that. Or we can only go so far every time we try to do that. But if we allow the love of God to flow through us, and not just puddle up with us, but to be a flow through us, then we can surely impact others, regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of the turmoil that's tried to get us to stop. Eddie?
So when we started the Trust Challenge several weeks back, we started with the concept of structural tension, recognizing that we are in a certain place and, you know, we have goals and we've put them they're in a different situation or different place, and we were going to go towards those. You remember there's a tension between where we're at and where we're going. As we were doing that in the first few weeks there, we realized that a lot of those goals, aspirations, dreams, desires were of and by ourselves and not necessarily God ordained. It's not what God had told us to do. So we had a kind of a readjustment of where we're going. But still, there's a tension of where you're at today and what God has for you. Okay, the other part of the concept of structural tension that we didn't tell you the first night is that there is something called the whirlwind. Now, the whirlwind is the everyday life, but it's also these trials, tribulations, things that come down, things that Jesus Himself promised us were here and that they were coming. He warned us about them already. But those things come for the purpose of knocking you off the path and getting you to stop, give up, quit. That's what they're there for. When Paul and Silas were in Macedonia and they were thrown in jail, That was a whirlwind. To knock them off the path, to keep them from going forward, to get them to turn around and go home, to make them stop. That was the intention of the whirlwind. Your whirlwind, while it won't look like that, will be something that will come along to distract you, to knock you off the path, to get you to stop, to quit, to give up. It's too hard. It's more comfortable just to stay where I'm at. But remember, we said that when you turn loose of your dream, your hope, your aspiration, what God has promised you, you go backwards in a reverse energy that takes you beyond where you were, and you fall back further. So you don't want to do that. But what we've learned through this process is that we trust God. And in Him, which is inside of us, that we have everything we need to make it through this and more. And by making it through the whirlwind, sticking it out, trusting Him, depending on Him, you go forward faster and further. And really what we see in Paul's example, it's not just for you making it out, but when you get the freedom of, or when you break through the whirlwind, your testimony, you share, and others come along with you. You take others towards that freedom with you. So the whirlwind is out there, and the whirlwind's coming. Jesus Himself said that. He called it something else, but that's what it is. But for us, going through this process, when we get finished this next week, next month, as we get into the year next year, when whirlwind comes, recognize what its purpose is. To stop you, to knock you back, to throw you off the path. But do not quit. Do not give up. Keep your trust in God. Depend on Him. Look to Him. Listen to Him. Follow Him, obey what He tells you to do, and do it willingly. Flow with Him and let that power of God that's in you push you through, compel you through that whirlwind, set you free, and then with that freedom, you propel further towards what God has for you, and you'll take more people with you.
Amen. That's right. And we see that in Paul and Silas's case here, because as a result of them going to Macedonia, they encountered and came upon this city called Philippi. You ever heard of it? Like, it's the letter to the church at Philippi is called Philippians. And I don't know if Philippians would exist in our Bibles had Paul and Silas said, nope, we're not going to go to Macedonia. I'm not going to shut down that vision. I'm going to follow my own plan. I'm going to go my own way. And there's such richness in the book of Philippians, isn't there? I mean, we get like the famous flannel graph verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You remember that. Like a kindergartner knows that, and they should. But it sticks with you, and you need it more and more, especially when you face the whirlwind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you see that the church established in Philippi as a result of their missionary journey to Macedonia. And they were, not only were they trusting forward, but they were thrust forward by the power of God. And I believe that can be the case for all of us here tonight as we're bringing our season of the Trust Challenge to a close. That doesn't mean that you stop trusting. Doesn't mean that you graduated from the class of trusting God. Didn't get your diploma yet. It's still a thing. Like, you still go with it. It's not like I did that and now I'm going to forget all about it like we did when we were in high school. Okay, like geography. It's not like you're going to give up on that and say, that was then, this is now, I'm going my own way now. No, let's continue to trust God. Let's continue to trust God, and let's continue to do it together. One of the most rewarding things about this Trust Challenge for me has been these groups, these trust teams, the bonds that have been formed, the sharing, the fellowship that we heard about this morning that's taken place in these groups. And we're going to do something tonight that could be very special for your group. We're going to receive communion as a group together, not as a whole. We're not going to serve you as pastors or leaders or whatever, but you're going to take communion in your group together, and you're going to pray for each other and kind of be a final celebration of what God has done in and through you, and then a final note of consecration for moving forward in what God has for you. And so that's our plan tonight, and I believe it's going to be very special for you. Let me pray, and then Pastor Susie has some group adjustments, and then we'll be off to our groups, our trust teams. God, we thank you. We rejoice over what you've done in and through us. We rejoice, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for helping us stand firm in the midst of the storm. Thank you for delivering us from the chains of bondage that the enemy had upon us. And thank you for the responsibility, the privilege to pass freedom on to others. Thank you, Lord, for what's taken place through this season of trusting you, but even more so, we look expectantly to the future of what you're going to continue to do through us and the testimonies that are going to take place as a result of us trusting you to do things that we could never do in and of our own strength, to step out in faith, to preach the gospel in places that we never thought we'd end up being, but because we've followed you, this is the place where we've ended up. And this is the place that you've called us to and that you're going to see us through to the other side. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, Father, as we talk in our trust teams about what you've done through us and what you've done in us as a result of this trust challenge, may we be encouraged, may we be stirred up, may we be incited and stimulated to action for the kingdom. And we thank you for it, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to say a special thanks to the group leaders. My goodness. You have been here week after week and been faithful. And thank you, all of you, the leaders and the co-leaders that have been here. We appreciate all you've done. And this wouldn't be happening without y'all.